are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we're powered by the SID Media, and today it is a Wednesday, and Wednesday we speak all things boys, our boy children there, and today we're looking at being a brother to a community. So being a brother to a community typically implies a role of support, responsibility and solidarity within a particular community. It suggests that the individual plays a significant and supportive role in the well-being and development of a community, right? But isn't this too much, Nje, for our boy children, and can they actually handle it? We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Pulo Tabelo, who's going to be helping us to unpack this. Muruti, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I am good, Muruti. I was supposed to say Dumelang. You see, when I come back now to South Africa, now I'm strictly speaking English. We're speaking, I must repent. Anyway, Murutu, thank you for joining us, you know, to speak to us about this very important topic there. But before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to gather and talk about this important subject. As we discuss the role of a boy in a community, we ask that you lead the discussion. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, Muruti, in our communities, now we see young boys in almost all communities, basically. And some of them, you know, we even call them ringleaders because, like, you are a ringleader because, you know, he's leading the pack of boys that they're playing with together. The others, they're just following and so forth and so on. And someone would be wondering, you know, are boys really influential? Can our boy children be influential in a good and a bad way? We have to make sure that it's both ways because some are good, some are bad. But can they be influential?
I would say yes. If you were to agree with me, for a long time, boys have been influential, and it's only that nowadays we are trying to shift the attention from the boy child to the girl child.
Yeah,
but it has always been the boy child is someone who has been looked at with high esteem. Everyone in the family was happy whenever a boy child was given birth to. But nowadays, of course, we are changing the narrative, but they still remain influential even today. Of course, it depends on whether it's good influence or bad influence, but I say yes, the boy child is still influential.
Mm-hmm. So in that their influence, Muruti, you know, what does it mean for a boy to be a brother to a community? I mean, others, they struggle. The mere fact that they have siblings, it's a problem. Good, they have siblings. I know, you know, they're fighting for things within their house. Yes. But now here we are having these boys, you know, he's always surrounded by 3, 4, 5 boys. You know, he's being a brother to them. In fact, some of them, they even respect this particular boy child to a sense that, if John finds out, or if, you understand, some of them, they even fear or respect the boy more than their own fathers, you know. So what does it mean when we're saying that a boy can be a brother to a community?
Our culture has always trained boys to be protectors. Mm-hmm. So we have all this time given responsibility to a boy child. Mm. Whenever you grow up as an African child, as an African boy, you know that when there's a bereavement in a family, you're not supposed to cry. You are supposed to be there for your mother, for your sisters, for your siblings. Be strong for them. We have been taught this. Don't show your tears. Mm. Don't show your weakness. Be a protector. Fight for your family. Fend for them. And the boy child has always lived his life to please others. Mm-hmm. And this is still found in our times, of course, in a few, that you discover that most of the men who were really brought up in this concept of being a boy child, a brother to the community. Right now, what they are working for, they themselves, they are not getting anything from it. They get paid and they make sure that somebody is well fed, well dressed, and discover that months come and go without that particular person buying not even a shoe for themselves, but they keep buying things for to make sure that their siblings are well taken care of and their mothers are okay wherever they are. So a boy has always been brought up to be a protector, to be a brother, not only to his family, but a brother to the whole community.
You know, as you're speaking about that, my pastor saying that, you know, they are protectors. Sometimes I often feel, I don't know why I'm so touched by this, but I almost feel like, you know, we put too much pressure on the boy child, and it's not necessary. You know, maybe it's because I've got two boys. I don't know, but I always feel like, and with that, it's leading me, my pastor, to my next question, Hore. Why do they need to be, you know, good role models in the spaces that they live? Because, I mean, like, they're still children, you know, they're still young. But here's the thing, because even, you know, with those examples that I gave, that you find them sitting there in the group, it's either the good, they're doing good things or bad things. You understand? And most of the time, once they do bad thing, we're like, wana kos mang mang. You know, we already know that group of boys, you know, we even have labels for them and everything like that. But then now, why, if we have such children or if parents have such children, why should they help them to change that perspective about them or what they are known for? If we do not have that, for example, we have parents who just have boy children, how then should they take it good? Their boys actually have to be role models within the communities in which they live.
Yeah, when I say in our culture, I'll be referring to our Setswana culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, in Setswana, we say, "Ngwana mosimane ke molekane wa gagwe." This means a boy child is an age mate to their father.
Okay.
So, and when what keeps the boy child to maintain a standard, to always try to represent his father, is a saying that ngwana o thogotona o sira rrago. This means a wayward child will always every time we'll ask ourselves, whose child is that? And we will wonder, which father has failed to bring up a child? Which father has failed to bring up a boy who can be a brother to the community? So it has always been hard. It's hard to live up to the standards of being a man, because the moment you are born, there are expectations.
Yep.
And for a long time, this has affected our children, because as parents, we expect more from our boy children. That's why even when it comes to them choosing what to do in life, for a long time, a boy, if you are say, I want to be a primary school teacher, the parents will be worried. Oh, what kind of a boy is this? How do you choose to be a teacher? A boy says, I want to be a nurse. How can you be a nurse? What are ladies doing? What will girls do? So you think this has always affected the way we choose careers, the way we because we want to represent our fathers. And for a long time, parents have been misusing this, because they would want now their children to achieve what they failed to achieve for them. If I wanted to be a doctor, I would make sure that this boy does nothing but becomes a doctor. I want this boy to be this. And that has always affected our boy children. And they are struggling to freely be who they are. So you are right. It has its goods, and it also has its bad.
And you know, Mpundisi, since we are a Christian radio station, you know, we always want to refer to the Bible. Me, I don't know boy children in the Bible. I only know David, that he was once young. The rest, I don't know. If they were once young, I think I need to go back to Bible studying there, because most of them, we just know them when they are old, you know. And then he lived up until 120, then he died. But we don't know about them being boys, you know. Even Jesus himself, we just see him, then now he's a man, you know. So do we have boys in the Bible that we can refer to whom were brothers in the community? When we're speaking to our children, because sometimes, you know, when we're speaking to them, some of us shy away from speaking about the other children in the community. We want to refer to the Bible. Like, you see David, you know, David was an upright young man. But then now you find that the example now becomes so redundant because you're forever using one person. You know, there are no other people that you can refer to, but do we have that? Or even if fine, it's men, now we can lower them, get to do it now, it's boys. We're not really lying. We're just twisting it. Whom can we say that this one was a brother to the community in the Bible?
We have both good examples and bad examples.
Yes, please.
We have... The first two boys, Cain and Abel. You see, the question to Cain was, "Where is your brother?" And what did he say? "Am I my brother's keeper?" So he knew that he was supposed to be his brother's keeper. But what did he do? His conscience was speaking against him. He killed his brother. He killed he who was supposed to protect. So that is a bad example of a boy. So then I think of Samuel, the small boy Samuel, the one who was brought up in the temple, very obedient young boy. You see, sometimes we forget that the environment that Samuel lived in was not very conducive. It was. To me, I would personally, this is my personal opinion, I would personally say it was more of an abusive environment because he came in when Eli had his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and these two were the ones that Eli favored more, and Samuel was the least favored. So who would... when those two are refusing to be sent, who will do the chore after all? It is Samuel. Those two were wayward, but Samuel remained a brother. And he, not only did he remain a brother, when those boys were busy sleeping with girls, doing funny things, he remained a brother to the community. That is not what he was not found in such things. So it is possible to live in an environment that does not favor you and still remain a brother to the community, just like someone. And the little boy Jesus, I'll talk about Jesus as well, that he was also a boy. We see him at the age of 12, approximately 12 years.
Yes.
He's involved in Bible study. He's involved in discussions. So this shows that it is possible for our boy children to be involved in meaningful discussions in our churches. So it is high time that church leaders and church members don't look at these boys as boys who will not contribute anything. Some of them are gifted to an extent that they will contribute in Bible study, they will contribute in whatever way they can, just like Jesus did. What did they do when they all marveled and said, what manner of child is this? He speaks so well. Where did he learn all these things? So it comes back to the father again, that the father was a good example. But of course, we know that he was a reflection of his heavenly father, our heavenly father. So they are actually many. I will just stop with Jesus.
You know, I'm also and like... yes, Pastor.
There is one... though it is in a It is in one of the stories that Jesus shared. But in that story, we see a role that is played by that little boy, the one of the greatest in the greatest one of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible, where Jesus has to feed more than 5,000 people who came with the lunch.
Yes.
So if the boy was not there, then the miracle maybe would have not happened the way it happened. So there was a boy with a little packed lunch. So it is important in our churches to know that these boys, they have something to offer. If we can just get what they have brought in their small packed boxes, lunch boxes, maybe we can be able to increase it and feed the rest of the church and the rest of the country.
And I'm loving, you know, that my pastor, that this boy with the five fish, you know, he made his resources available to the community.
Yes,
we can say that even Jesus, he made his knowledge available to the community. Would we then now draw it up that, you know, with our boy children, we should teach them that as much as, yes, you are a brother, but being a brother also means sharing. I think all parents, we always teach this to our children from a very young age. Sharing is caring. You know, should we now, make sure that we influence them to do that? That if my child is good, let's say, for example, at coding, as much as they, as young as they are, we shouldn't bar them from bringing one child so that they learn together. If they are good at, because we do have boy children that are good at cooking at a very young age, we shouldn't stop them doing that. In fact, that Sabbath lunch that they send me as the mother, they're like, this Sabbath, cook this. I should actually allow him, you know, to cook that, so that when he now sees people eating that food and enjoying it, he will feel some sort of, you know, happiness or fulfillment and stuff like that. Is that now what we should take from some of this boy trend we're finding in the Bible?
Yes, and you see, all the mess that we find ourselves in, I'm very sorry to say this, is because of us adults. It is not because of children. We have wayward children because of how we adults have brought them up. If we could have at least maybe tried to bring up children who are not competing with each other, children who know that the success of another person is not an intimidation to me. I shouldn't be intimidated when someone next to me is getting 100% and I'm getting 70%. I should be grateful that at least we are all passing. So we raise them, we want them to succeed to an extent that we put them in competition, in a competition mode. And this is what now leads to jealousy, anger issues. The child is always angry at someone, they dislike so and so because he's getting prizes and not getting prizes. And that is a mentality that has been brought by us parents on our children. I think we have a lot to do. You see, nowadays it's good that we are, because our culture was stepping down on the girl child. It is good to revive the girl child. Let them wake up, know that they also have something to do. But let us not do it at the expense of the boy child. Because now the parents have shifted attention to the boy, to the girl child, and the boy child remains there, unattended. The child just grows up as someone with no values. Nothing has been put in them because attention was shifted to these ones who, of course, I agree, they were not treated well. But let us not correct and destroy something which was not wrong. Yeah, when we correct, let us maintain that both children now, when you give birth to a girl or a boy, we shouldn't be happy when it's a boy. We shouldn't be happy when, we should just accept and be happy when it's a child. That it's a child. It's a child. Yeah.
Murud, you know, as we wrap up, you said something there that this mess that we are in, And I love how you said it, you know, so straight and so honest. We are in a mess. It's not because of the children, but because of us parents, because sometimes, you know, we too strict or we are not too strict. Like, there's always a fine line there, man. Am I doing something right or am I doing something wrong? It's always so much tricky there. And I'm always for, you know, giving the young children as well a space. And love also how in one of your answers you mentioned that sometimes let's give them, I would really love one day to go to the Sabbath school lesson and find the younger ones actually teaching us that lesson, you know, giving us that lesson, because it's right. I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but sometimes, you know, it would be nice. And not only limit, you know, because on a Pathfinder Day, Adventurer Day, and Youth Day, where we sing the young people preach, or we seeing them taking care of the services, because now babas are cool. So whom would they have learned from if we don't train them from now? So yeah, it's a very difficult one.
You're very right. You see, I also I thought that a child could not do anything until I pastored the Chobe district up there in Kasani. Then when I got there, I found them saying, "We are having a children crusade." I said, "What? What is that? A children crusade, Pastor, where we children will be preaching?" I said, "This is a crusade. It's a serious thing.
It's a serious thing.
We are calling, we are calling people to Christ. We are calling." I was not very comfortable because I was new. I could not say stop. I had to just play along, but that was my moment of conversion. I discovered that these little children, when they preach our doctrines, they preach it with no apology. They will tell you the Sabbath is 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And when they make an appeal for someone to come, they are not apologetic.
Yes.
They are not even shy.
Yes.
They just say, "If you want to choose Jesus, come." And I was shocked. I ended up baptizing not children. I baptized elderly people, close to 20, from a children crusade. So you see that when we involve them, when we allow them, when we teach them, they bring results as well.
Yeah.
So I'm speaking this at a point where I was also on the other side. Now I am where I am because I have seen them do it.
Murut, next time you have a children's crusade, please invite us. I would like to experience that. I would really love to experience that, because I've seen the power of children. So we have a program where we should call the Kids Perspective. We're having the one this Friday as well. So we have it once a month where we allow the children to come through here on radio. And as much as they are asking questions, but it's so interesting, you know, they're so pure, and the questions they ask, I'm like, wait, did your mother send you with that question here? You know, because I'm like, it's so brilliant and it's so good, and I'm like, this is what it means that now we are nurturing them, because when they're here in studio, they're seeing me doing this, they're seeing me click here, touch that, they're able now to see that. And now when we give them the Sabbath school lesson, we give them the Bible, like, preach, child. Oh, Jesus. I'm so happy.
They are very Most of them are gifted speakers.
Yes.
They're very good.
I get Murut, you know, thank you for speaking to us. I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us as parents and as adults, basically, to guide our children in the right way so that they become brothers to their communities. They are able to take up the responsibilities that are there within in the church so that they can do wonders there. And not only restrict that, because some of them, you know, we allow them to do this thing, the church. But then when we come into the communities outside of the church, we lock them up, you know, so that they may be able to go out there and grow.
Yes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are very grateful that we had this discussion today and now. Lord, you have given us a gift of parenthood. We are just sinners, Lord, and sometimes we fail to be good parents to these children. Therefore, Lord, we ask that you help us to bring them up in a godly manner. Help us, Lord, to as we bring them up, to not force ourselves into them. May we allow them to be who they are so that they become unique. Because when we are unique, when we are all different, our differences bring flavor to ministry and brings flavor to life as a whole. And Heavenly Father, thank you for our children. Thank you for the boys and the girls that you have given us. Let us, help us, Father, not to favor one over the other. Because boys and girls, they are all gifts from you. And as we bring them up, Lord, help us to bring them up in a way that they will learn to exist well with one another. We have all this time known that we are supposed to protect our girls. We are supposed to protect our sisters. May we not be found now raping them and abusing them. And when we have married them, may we not abuse them, even in marriage. Help us, Father, to grow them up in a godly manner. May our experiences not influence the way we grow them up. Help us. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Muruti, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. I know that we're going to do better when it comes to our boy children. So have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you very much. Blessed day to you too.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.